Give a hand clap for Jesus. That's the only one. Amen. You may be seated. I'm very grateful I've come many, many times to England. I used to study here. And I lived for 3 years, a long time ago, okay? 1991, 99, on the 1990s. But this is the first time I feel so much love, care, and I've been so blessed in a weekend here in England, in Chesterfield. I'm really amazed, and I want to thank God, first of all. Second, your pastors, they are great people, care for them. But all of you, all the people who have been serving, leading, and I'm amazed with all of you. I tell you this. So I'm not telling this because I'm here on the pulpit, but I'm telling this with all of my heart. I felt like at home. So thank you to everybody, okay? I want to show a picture of my family, and so you can see that I have a family, okay? this is the harbor of Alicante right now, 27 degrees, sunny, no rainy, okay? And this is my son, Samuel. He's an incredible preacher. He's right now in Argentina with a wife, is this one. She's Sarai. She's a lawyer, so sometimes she's a pain in my neck. Because I like to be not legal, you know. and she wants me to make it everything legal, you know. But she's wonderful. By the way, he's a Pentecostal and she's a Baptist. So a legal Baptist is even worse. But she's great. She's great. This is my daughter, Priscilla. The husband, he's from Argentina, by the way, and Asier, he is a great man. Also, he's a businessman, and this is my beautiful wife. Don't ask me how. You have to understand God is a God of miracles. That's all you need to know, okay? So if you are alone, you have hope, okay? My wife, beautiful, and this is my grandchild, Mia. It's a beautiful girl with blue eyes. I mean, I'm crazy for this girl. It's incredible. So this is my beautiful family. We all serve the Lord in three campuses, and we are reaching our region for Jesus Christ, you know? And it's a pleasure to work with them. Today, all of them, I think my wife and the daughter and my daughter, they are in the churches. My son is in Argentina. I'm here. But it's an incredible family that God gave me. The way until here has been very hard. But the Bible says that the future glory will be bigger than the past one, no? Yeah. Something like that, no? So when you are close to Jesus, God will make a way where there is no way. Okay? Amen. I want to speak about something very simple, but this year I had a crack moment and a break point moment, you know, something like that, you know. So I gave up loving Jesus. Let me explain this. Sounds a little bit strange, no? I love Jesus. But how can I explain? I was the son of missionaries and pastors. I lived all my life at church. I know the chewing gum, you say? That is under the seats of the church. I know good things and bad things of the church. I know everything about the church. And I've all my life worked to love Jesus. And when you get older, you find out that you have to give up your pressure to love Jesus. Because at the end, our love is not enough for him. So I want to talk about origin. And I want to go to the Bible. And I want to try to explain this. It's a thought of my heart. And I hope all of you can relate to that today, you know. But I believe that God is an incredible God. And sometimes our lives doesn't match with that incredible God we have. And something is in the middle. In one point this year, I felt broken. And I said, Lord, I'm missing something. I have the ministry. I have the anointing. But I'm missing something. There is something that I've missed. And maybe some of you can relate with me with that, you know. So let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. I want to go to a very short text. And it says so in the word, they say, we love each other because he loved us first. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you that your word will touch our hearts, that your spirit will teach us today, Father, and that we can get out from here in a higher level, Father, in something new, in something that you can reveal to each one of us. In the name of Jesus, we say,
amen.
So, I've spent my entire life teaching people how to love one another and how to love God. And I've been a worship leader for many, many years. In Spain, when we begin the work, you had to play everything. So I play drums, I play piano, I play guitar, I play everything, you know. And so I've been a worship leader, and for years I've encouraged people to love Jesus, you know. And I think all of us, we know that, and it's something we have done as ministers, as worship leaders, you know. But without realizing, I was doing it wrong. And now when I'm 53 years, it's like something came connected in my mind, and I said, oh, I did it wrong all my life. I was teaching people to love each another. I was teaching people to be faithful to the wives and to the husbands. I've been doing all that and not going to the origin, not going to the essence. And I think I did it wrong, you know. So, but of course, the intention was good, you know. I think every time we want to love God or love each one another, the intention is really good. But at the end, you find out that the result has not been. And even in the mercy of God, he blessed us, okay? And this is something great from God. You know that it doesn't matter the way we love Jesus, he will still bless us, you know? And it's incredible, you know? But this idea was something that touched my heart. And you know, when I'm in church, and let's be clear, in church we have many failures, we have divisions, we have fights, at least in Spain, not in Chesterfield, okay? I understand that, you know? So I'm going to talk about Alicante, you know? But it's a mess over there, you know? And we have different cultures as church, you know? And these cultures, they come from the background churches, you know? So we have people from a legalistic side of churches, you know? And they come to church, you know, and they want to have some rituals and things like that. Then we have others that they are very free, or they are super grace, or super faith, or less faith, or, you know, a mixture of every, some of them are from AOG, Assemblies of God, and others are more from the Baptist side. So we have a completely mess. And in Spain, we have many, many problems, fights. And then we see among, like never today in the church, there are many divorces. I don't know here in England, but in Spain, you see more and more that people are separating themselves, the families, just because stupid things, you know. And sometimes not something that is unfaithful, but just because we can't communicate, we don't feel good together. So there are many divorces, misunderstandings, frustrations, or people that do not remain in faith. And I say, how is possible? Because one thing I will never do is get away from God. It doesn't matter how I feel, but I will never get away of God. It's not in my heart. It's not in my conception. It's not in my desire, you know. And then we see many, many leaders that they begin with a lot of power serving God at church. And then suddenly they leave everything, you know. And you are like, God, what's all about? Because I don't understand, you know. I cannot assimilate kingdom with failure. It doesn't connect. How can I fail if I'm in the kingdom? I cannot assimilate kingdom with divorce. Divorce has nothing to do with kingdom. Or kingdom has nothing to do with divorce. I cannot. And I cannot assimilate kingdom even with sin. But we are always in a mess. And probably we have come today to this place to show our love to Jesus. And I think even that is wrong. And don't misunderstand me, okay? But there is a reason for all this mess we have around. There is a reason, you know. And of course, if you came to the church, think the church is a perfect place with perfect people. No, we are a mess. I mean, I am a mess. I think all of us, if we are honest with ourselves, we are a mess. We are trying our best, okay? Let's say the truth. You know, but we are a mess, man. We fail. We fail. And I say, God, how is this possible? You know, hey, where is my timer? It's gone. Man, I don't know where I am. There is no timer today. Oh, there it is. Thank you. Okay. Now, first John gives us the key. It says, love each other. This is the result. Now, think about that text. Love each other is not a mandate, it's a result. It says, because he loved us first. That's the reason. And we have done it all the way around. We are trying to love each other. We are trying to love Jesus. We are trying to love our families, you know. But we didn't go to the reason, that is that he loved us first. And this is where our thought is completely wrong. Because if you want a good result, you need to focus in a good reason. And this is the problem. I'm trying to love without experience the love of Jesus. And I can try my best to love somebody, but I need first to experience the love of God so I will love everything. I was in a conference and somebody asked me, will you be unfaithful to your wife? And I answered that question. Because if we are honest, I cannot say, in Spain we say, don't say that you will not drink from that water. In Chesterfield, you say something like that? No. You are looking to me like, don't say no, because could be yes. Okay, something like that. But I said, listen, I'm 30 years with my wife. And the reason not to be unfaithful is not because I love her, but it's because for 30 years, this lady loved, understood me, cared for me, and has been always with me. Now, in the couple, in the marriage, everything changes when we recognize the love of the other person. So my love is going to be sustainable if I recognize the love of my wife. You understand what I mean? Because sometimes we are trying our best and we fail constantly. And the same happens with God. And this is the idea. We need to focus more on the love of Jesus than in our love for Jesus. You know, we are building from the ceiling and not from the basis. And sometimes we work so hard to love Jesus that we don't have time to experience the love of Jesus. And what it will make us love Jesus is my experience of the love of Jesus over my life. You understand that? The thing is that we have based our Christian life on loving Jesus. And everything we have done, spoken, and felt has been based in how much we love Jesus. And it's completely wrong. I did it wrong for many years. Because if you hear somebody speaking and somebody living and somebody doing things in life, you will realize that that person is struggling and is making a great effort to do things right. You know, and we have based all our Christian living and our faith is based on my love for Jesus. And I believe because I love Jesus. And everything is egocentric in my love for God. And that's why sometimes we cannot match the glory of God with our lives. It's more, we have focused more in the anointing than in the love of God for us. And we can have anointing, but we need to experience God's love to use correctly that anointing. Because the anointing without experiencing the love of God is just nothing. We understand that. And that's why it's so important. We have lived Christ based on our relationship with Him. And that's wrong. And of course, again, I say this, in His mercy, we have seen miracles and we have believed miracles and we have believed that the miracles have been achieved because we love Jesus. So even when we hear that a miracle happened in a church, we tend to believe that, wow, that person is close to God. That's why received that miracle, you know. But let me tell you this truth. Miracles do not happen because we love Jesus, but because Jesus loves us. Change your mind. The reason why God is going to heal you, the reason why God is going to restore your marriage, the reason why you are going to see a miracle is not because your relation with Him, it's because His relation with you. We need to understand that. I've experienced many miracles. And at one point in my life, I was feeling very anointed. You know, I was feeling very anointed. I say, wow. God is doing great things through me. Hallelujah. You know these kind of things. You know, we tend to believe sometimes this. Until I understood things in life and it's not like this. That's our, sorry to say that. It's our stupidity. You know, but it's not like this. I can tell you many, many stories of miracles. One of the miracles I experienced is, I remember that when I left my secular job, I used to be a sales manager in the West Coast of the States. And I left my job to be full-time in a church of 30 people. 30 people with no jobs. So tithing was good. And I used to earn something like, this was in the year 2000, like 6,000 euros. For 18 months a year, for that time was a lot, and for Spain was much more, okay? But I left everything. We lose our house, our villa in the beach that I bought, and we lose our car, and we went to a rental place to take our church of 30 people and be full-time. And I remember we were living, by the way, I will never forget that, door-to-door to my house was an English pub called the Black Cat, full of beers until 3 or 4 in the morning, you know. So some of the drunk people there, I will not tell where they were from, They came inside my garden, and my wife used to be at 4 o'clock in the morning with the, how you say, the sweeper, the, you know, hitting people out of the garden. We had Crocs. You say Crocs, not the shoes, the black things. You know, you say Crocs. That thing. We had the house full of them, and our kids were growing very little, and my wife said, "Hey, we cannot stay living like this. We have changed all that to be in the kingdom this way." So I said, talk to him, he's the boss. Don't tell me anything. You said with me yes, so you talk with the boss. And that day we prayed, but we prayed crying. Now we say it like this, you know, but we prayed crying, say, God, you have to make a change. Next morning, I didn't have a car, but somebody in the I was walking out of the street and praying in the street of where our little church was. And there was a man with a minibus, Volkswagen, I think it's Caravelle 1 or 2. These surfers vans, you know. And I was walking, I say, good morning. And he said to me, good morning. So I keep on walking, and he said, hey, you want the minibus? Say, why? Say, because I just bought a new one, and I want to give this to somebody. You want it? I say, yes. So I had a car, suddenly, from somebody off the street. And not only car, because I had like 3 or 4 teenagers. So I was pastor. I was the welcome man. I was the offering man. I was playing the keyboard. And I was the youth leader. So I had a minibus for the young people. So I said, I have a car for the family. And so later on, the following day, I was on the minibus. And my cellular, my telephone rang. And this is the call. And they say, my name is George. Okay, he talked English, by the way. Eh? He was an Englishman. My name is George, and the Lord gave me your telephone number and your name and told me to buy you a house because you need it. My house is named the Miracle House. And I say, and he said, can you meet me at Montesinos? Montesinos is the way where we opened the big building. And a prophet told me that God will give me signs that that is the place to start. So he came and he showed me the house. It was a penthouse with swimming pool on the top. If you have been in Torre Vieja, we see from the top all the salt lakes and everything. It's a beautiful place, a very nice place. And he said, you want the house? So I said, yes, why not? I mean, who will say no, you know? It doesn't matter. Out of the pub, the black cat, out of black, anything will be better, you know? But it was a beautiful place to grow my family. So at 7 p.m., we went to sign the papers and the documents. He paid the house, 150,000 euros. He paid the house, and he said to the owner, this house is for this young man. And the man was amazed because never saw somebody foreigner to buy a house to somebody that doesn't know. So he bought me the house. And when we went outside, he gave me a hug. And he said, Pastor, I have to fly to another country. Goodbye. So he walked the street. And then he turned the corner. And I said, I need to bring this man to my house. So I began to run. And I saw him going around, and when I went around a few seconds, the man disappeared. There were no cars, was anything there. We give the glory to God, okay? So, for many years I thought, oh, it's incredible, no? What an anointing. So many things we have seen. But the only thing I can say today is that each miracle I have received in my life, it came because the love of God for me. Nothing else. So I want to break the mentality today that you think that you are not capable to see a miracle of God because your love for God limits you. I want to tell you that the love of God for you is limitless. Yeah. Amen. So if we focus in his love for us, we will see great miracles, okay? Now, the point is this. The love of Jesus for us is perfect. But my love for Jesus is not perfect. And also each one of us, I believe that the person that most love God in this place will have an imperfect love for God. And this is the point, you know, and forgive the comparison, but basing our Christian life in our love for Jesus is like going to the village idiot for ask an advice. And this is what we are doing. We are basing our Christian life for our love for Jesus. And we make a big effort, and all of you are making a big effort today to show your love for God. But God is here to show his love for you. And this will make the difference, you know. That's why the essence is that Jesus loved me first. And if we make this essence real, everything we talk, do, and live will change. We will speak different. We will do things different. We will have insight, inner motivation differently, you know. So strive to experience the love of God. Every day, before you go to your job, before you love your family, strive to experience the love of Jesus. Because what it will make a difference is not your morning prayer, but is your morning experience with the love of God. Amen? So when you experience it, then you have no problem loving those who don't deserve it. You know, when you are full of the love of God and your enemy is in the door, you go and say, hello, how are you? Are you okay? You need something. You know why? Because you are full of the love of God. When you are in love, you don't care about your enemies, you know. You don't have problem giving more than what you have. Why? People have today, Pastor, explain me what's tithing. No, I cannot explain you what's tithing. Because tithing, giving to the Lord, has to do with an experience of the love of God in your heart. You can try to do your best, but once you have experienced the love of God, you will give whatever he asks you to give. Because it's a matter of my experience, or no, his experience with me, you know, his love with me, you know. So that's why, and then you will have no problem believing what no one's believe. If you are covered with the love of God, cancer has to go, sickness has to go, problems has to go. You are full of the love of God, and God will make a way where there is no way. Amen? But you know, we have the picture of Peter. Peter fell walking with Jesus. You know, Peter was like all of us. I feel I'm like Peter. I always spoke about bad about Peter, but then I found out that I'm more Peter than him, you know. Not Peter Pan, but Peter, you know. It's different, okay? But Peter failed walking with Jesus. He performed miracles. He was close to Jesus, but he failed in his relationship with Jesus. Remember the story. You know, Jesus will say, you want to go? No, I will never go. I'll stay always with you, Jesus. I love you with all my heart. You know, Peter, he was like this, you know. Nobody loves me. No, Jesus, I love you. I will do anything for you, you know. And we know the story, how Peter once and again, he had our syndrome. We are trying our best to love Jesus. And if I ask you today, how many of you love Jesus? Probably all of us will say, yes, Pastor, how can you ask me that question, you know? But everything changes. Peter was over, I hope I said well, Peter was overconfident in his ability that he could love God and that it would never leave him. And we all do too. I will never leave the Lord. I will never stop loving God. And this is our thought constantly. You know, and then the bird, I don't know the name of that bird, bah, 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 you know, he sang three times. And Peter, Crocker, I don't know how to pronounce it, the rooster crowed or something like that. Kentucky Fried Chicken alive, you know. You get it that way, you know. And this Kentucky Fried Chicken, he sang twice, and Peter was gone. You know? But you know what happens in the life of Peter? Peter was the first one saying that he loved Jesus, but now he feels he's sitting on a beach in the sand, thinking that his love for Jesus has failed, completely broken, thinking that I have to go back to the fishermen, saying all what I've experienced has been a failure. And he was completely broken. And look what happens in the story. Jesus gets close to Peter. Here is the point. Now Jesus asks Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter does not answer like before, "Yes, I love you." He says, "You know I love you." Second time, the same question. Third time, the same question. And I know many of us, we get to the point of you have to keep my sheep and all that. But the reality of that moment is that Peter denied Jesus. And now, in the worst moment of the life of Peter, when he denied his Savior, now the Savior comes back to the one who denied him to touch him and say, "You still love me." In that moment, Peter, for the first time, experienced the love of Jesus. And in that moment, he knew what to answer. "Lord, you know that I love you. But it's not about me. It's about you loving me." You understand that point? So that's why it's so important. And you know, it was not Peter's love that promoted him. It was Jesus' love for Peter. God gave him a call right now to the one who was a traitor and denied him, because this is the love of God. And let me tell you one thing. Maybe today is the worst day of your life in your relationship with Jesus, but that's the best moment to feel again the love of God. Amen. So you will not be able to love Jesus without experiencing his love for you. The more you focus on loving Jesus, the less you will love him. And I want to suggest you a couple of things. I know I'm being late, but I think the thing in this was not working, you know. So I will run, don't worry. You know, when we base our Christian life in our love for Jesus, we make promises that we cannot accomplish. You know what's all this about? I want to tell you a thing. For years, I've been saying, "God, if you make this miracle, I promise you, I will do this." How many have done this? Okay, let's be honest. Come on. You give me a job, you give me more money, you give me a wife, you know, and always we have failed accomplishing those promises. But let me tell you one thing, church. God does not negotiate miracles. He does it because he loves us. You don't need to make a deal with God. You need just to experience his love and you will see a miracle. This is one important thing. The second important thing, do not try to earn the love of God. The love of God is here for each one of us. It's given to us. And very important, you know, because this is what we have in the church. You know, when we try to live our Christian lives based in our love for Jesus, you know, we have a lot of passion. And this is what we have most in the churches, but little compassion. Here we can shout, we can applaud, we can jump, we can say how much we love Jesus. But I tell you the thing, the important thing is when you go home and you have your wife, you have your kids, you have to be full of compassion at that place. Because passion without compassion is nothing. But if we have passion full of compassion, wherever we go, we have to show the passion from here outside there, and we will see great things happening. Amen. Let's stand up. Amen. Let's stand up. Yeah. Thank you. And this was the idea. But I want to do one thing this morning. And I want you to close your eyes. Don't say anything. Don't speak. And just let the Holy Spirit reveal the love of God for you. I know that it's going to be difficult to stay silent, because it's like we need to say something. But He does not need now your words. He wants to embrace you. He wants to hug you. He wants that you may experience the love of Jesus in your heart. You won't quit anymore. You won't give up anymore. The love of God is so strong, and He's there with you. The only push you need today is His love. Holy Spirit, surround us with Your love right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, let us be comfortable with Your love over our lives. Father, doubts, they go because You love us. Father, let us be confident that He who started the work in us, He will finish. Oh, we want to experience Your love, Father. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Some of you are feeling peaceful right now. Some others are feeling rest. I want to bring down the level of your problems and rise up the level of the love of God for your life. God will make a miracle in your situation. Just believe it right now. If it's sickness, sickness goes in the name of Jesus, because His love for you in the name of Jesus. If you have a family problem, right now, things will change when you go home today. And the love of God will make a difference in the marriage. Hearts of the children will come back to the fathers, and hearts of the fathers will unite again with the children by the love of God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He will do it because He loves you. I don't know what you have been praying for these last months, but He will do it because He loves you. He will do it. Have that confidence and that faith that He will do that you are expecting. And He will do it more abundantly in the name of Jesus. And I want you to say there, I receive Your love right now, God. Jesus, I receive Your love. I receive Your love in this moment in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lift up your hands there where you are. Hallelujah.